cool. You know what? I just get more and more impressed each day, you know. Dick, I mean, don't you? I mean, now we know he can count down. And I'm so teasing. I'm sorry. We'll be good.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Welcome and Merry Christmas. So let's take a moment and put in prayer underway. So, Father, before you again for this opportunity to gather at this time of year, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for the blessings of your Son. We know what this season means, and we know it all year round. We are grateful.
Hallelujah.
And thank
Hallelujah.
You. Hallelujah. Father, we invite your precious Spirit to be here in this service, that your anointing may be over the pastor, over each one of us, and over the message, and even the worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Plus, then, with what's going on, you know, it's like my mind is not there. So, anyways, but Lord, we thank you for your precious holy word. And we thank you as we stand to honor you for your holy word, Lord. As we say this out loud together, may you just continue to be glorified, Lord. We thank you and praise you. We're going to be saying the verses, Proverbs 17:9a, and that's from the New American Standard Bible. And then 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, and that's from the... Is that the World English Bible, I think? Okay. And, okay, so, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, and above all things, be earnest in your love amongst yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. Praise God for his covering of our sins. So... Okay, let's sing. We're going to do the worship, and I'll do my best. We're going to do it with an accompaniment, that a karaoke accompaniment that we used at the adult care home last year that Pastor Janet gave to me. So we're going to start with We Three Kings of Orient Are.
The following is a sound guy's nightmare becoming reality. When the senior pastor gives him a CD just before service and says, "I'm sure you will be able to find the song I want." The sound equipment is in a separate room, and the sound guy must run back and forth to hear what is going on in the main room.
I haven't sung this one in a while, too. So, yeah, amen. Amen. Oh, no, we need that's O Little Town of Bethlehem. Okay, we're okay. So, we need to go back two songs. Yeah. O Little Town of Bethlehem, then Joy to the World. And then, I mean, we could switch it up, but,
yeah,
I mean, she can go, you know, wherever, but, you know. Okay. Sorry, because, you know, the thing doesn't do a counting thing, so he was trying to... That's not it. Dun, 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 dun. That is not it. But we will get to We Three Kings of Orient Are. No, that's not it either. That's not it. Okay. That's not it. Okay, this is it. Yay! We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts we traverse afar.
They started singing. What do I do now?
That's it? Oh, yeah, yeah. guys. That's mean. Okay. I was like, okay, this is not it. Okay. I do like this one. I'm just messed up because we are like, this is not it, but, okay, that's not it either. Okay, we're going to get there. That's not it. That's, oh, Christmas tree. I was like, oh, this is beautiful. So I'm going to be playing this in a second, but I'm going to go back there and get that up for you. At this time, then, what we're going to have is the ushers to pass out the elements, but when the song starts. And then and then I want you to... So holding the elements, holding what it represents... I want you to listen to the words. I'm going to say the words, too, in the song, because you know how sometimes when you hear it singing, you don't really recognize every word. So I'm going to say it and then listen to it and prepare your hearts. Remember, this is a time to repent and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal anything, any unforgiveness or anything that you need to repent of and just be excited of what this is, thanking God and praising Him for what the blood represents, for what the body represents, as we remember what He did. Each and every one of us, what we have in and through Him, the fullness. So, but I want you to listen to this. This is called Behold the Lamb, and it's a communion hymn. Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us, and we remember. The promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross. So we share in this bread of life, And we drink of a sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of peace around the table of the King. The body of our Savior, Jesus Christ, torn for you, eat and remember. The wounds that heal, the death that brings us life, paid the price to make us one. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of love around the table of the King. The blood that cleanses every stain of sin shed for you, drink and remember. He drained death's cup that all may enter in to receive the life of God. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of our bonds of grace around the table of the King. And so, with thankfulness and faith, we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. As we share in his suffering, we proclaim Christ will come again and will join in the feast of heaven around the table of the King. Around the table of the King. Isn't this beautiful? So listen to the way it's sung. It's very beautiful too. That song is also done so beautifully. And I just thought, when I was listening to it several times, I was like, Lord, thank you for this song. Thank you for who wrote it and the way that they did it and presented it. Because, boy, to me, it really prepared me for what we are about to receive right now. It prepared my heart. I could feel it just preparing my spirit, my heart, thanking him and praising him for what I have and what we will have in heaven. I was just so excited about this song, and I was like, thank you. I know some of you have heard it before, and I probably have, but it was just like, you know, because I listen to K-Love all the time, but and Family Life Radio, but when I'm driving, I listen to it a lot, and I just thought, Lord, thank you again for bringing me to this song again for this special Sunday. And I love to go from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 20. 5, and then I like to talk about 26, verse 26 too. I like to share that too. But this is, remember, the Apostle Paul. And he's talking about Jesus and how the Lord had received and then the Lord's Supper, but he was delivering it to us. And he talks about how he was delivering to us. And then on that same night, Jesus, in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus, your Lord and Savior, let us partake together and say, thank you, Lord, for the body that was broken for us. Thank you. And we take this together in remembrance of you.
Thank you, Pastor Karen. I thought it was so ingenious of us all to sing the three wise men to a different song's melody and still do pretty good at it. That was really cool. All right. Well, I thought we did too. In fact, maybe there should be another version. I'm with you. I'm with you. Not till they played the new one did I know that we were really wrong.
Now we are going to prepare for the Lord's tithes and our offerings. And where'd the microphone go?
He took it?
I took it? Oh, Carl got it. He took it.
Yeah,
he took it, but he took it. So not I took it. Sorry.
Oh, Father God, we are having so much fun.
We are. We love you, Lord.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Church is the funnest place to be. Father God, you have just given us so much. So much. And we remember, particularly at this time, we remember the ultimate gift that you gave us, your only Son. So, Father, at this time, I ask that you would move on our hearts with generosity. It is the time of giving. And Lord, we give our tithes and our offerings to bless you. And we remember the gift of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
I thought it was fitting the way you prayed, because the gift goes on is what I'm going to sing during this. So, with an accompaniment. We're having technical difficulties, if you've noticed. Okay, he got the other one to play, and that was good.
And the gift goes on.
And
the gift goes on.
Okay, can he start it over? Can he start it at the beginning? No? Okay, I don't know where we're at. So, okay, there we go.
The Father gave the Son. The Son gave the Spirit. The Spirit gives us life so we can give the gift of love. And the gift goes on. Christmas bow. God gave each of us a present on the night so long ago. It's a gift that keeps on giving. If our spirits can receive, it's the secret joy of living. If our hearts can just believe. And the gift goes on.
I just love that song and what all it represents, and so I thought, oh Lord, we'll do that for the Lord's tithe and offering, because of His gift, of love to us and his blessings of what we receive, the increase, and then we can give back to him what he requires. All he asks is for 10%, but then we're often stirred by the Holy Spirit to give offerings above and beyond. It's like, Lord, your gift, not only of like material, you know, like financial, okay, but the gift of his love. And then this provides the gift of the love for the church to continue, and it helps with missions, where 10% of this non-designated tithes and offerings helps with the Foursquare and helps with also missionaries around the world. So it's like, it's a continuance of his gift going on. So, Lord, we lift this up to you, your tithes and our offerings, and we present this to you, and we thank you and praise you for each and every one, Lord, that you have blessed us with all increase, each and every one of that increase that you've given us. But Lord, we thank you for this time. This it's such a privilege, such an honor to be able to continue to worship you with your tithes and our offerings. We love you, Lord God. And I just pray that your blessings upon every part of this. And I pray that you will just continue to help it to be used in ways that are well pleasing to you. For we answer to you, Lord God. And you know we want you to continue to be glorified in every part of Pathway of Hope and in our lives as well. So we thank you and praise you. This is yours, Lord, as we offer it to you. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you, honey. So thank you for, like, having fun this morning. and dealing with these challenges and all that good stuff. But it's going to be a good message today that the Lord has given us. I was preparing for the message, and I just kind of knew right away, and then the Lord gave me something else early this morning when I woke up extra early to go over things and pray, you know, for today. And I just want to share one thing about, like, the gift of Christmas. Pastor Janet shared that really quick last week when I was gone about the trip I can't remember the name of the city, but it's past Nogales in Mexico. And it wasn't Sonora like I thought. It was about a half an hour into Mexico from Nogales. And it was interesting crossing the border and you know how, like, this morning there was challenges. Well, there was challenges yesterday. But we got there to this church, and they had all these children there, and they had the boys lined up on one side and the girls lined up on the other side. And they were playing outside in the yard of this, you know, no grass or anything. It was just kind of, it had rained. So, and it was not super muddy, but yeah, there was remnants. And so the beautiful tile inside was marked up by the shoes from being out there. But it was so neat when we got there and the kids and then Pastor Mark, I had this gal interpret for me, because Pastor Mark then did a little message to the children and then in Spanish. Obviously everything was in Spanish, but then I had two ladies that could interpret for me. And so then we had us after that, and he gave the time of the children to really receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, which was special. And they had the gifts, and they had ages, like 3 to 5, or, you know, 6 to 8, 9 to 11, and then 12 to older. And so they had it set, and, you know, and they put me to the 9 to 11-year-olds. And Paul and I had gotten gifts for that age group. And so, and then they had me, and the two gals wanted me to do the praying. And they, what they did is they called the names of each child. And then they had them come up in the different, you know, sections, one at a time. And they had the gifts unwrapped so that the child could pick of the selection. So that was kind of neat. And then you saw their eyes, like, you knew, you know, like some of them right away. And then they would get their gift, and then then you would pray over them. So each group, they, you know, separate us in groups, and you'd pray over them and bless them. And so we also had the gift. I recognized the girls' gift, you know. We got a soccer ball, but there were several soccer balls. So I couldn't remember which one was ours looked like. So I probably blessed the kid, you know, but I didn't remember that one. But I knew exactly what the girls' gift was. And so that was kind of neat to be able to pray and bless over, because it was on our age group that they happened to assign me at. I didn't know that. But it was so neat to be able to do that, to take the time to pray over each child. Every once in a while, there would be somebody that would let me know about somebody. One lady was, I was praying for healing over her. And then later, I didn't know, Pastor Mark said she used to attend their church. And so we went into a room later after the service and prayed for her, a bunch of us, for healing. And her mother needed healing. A hole in the esophagus, and then she had her gallbladder removed at 5 months old, I think it was. And now her liver, she was 19 if I remember correctly, and now her liver is being very affected and can only basically be on liquids. And so we were praying, but her mother still also had the same problem or a similar problem with the esophagus, and so we were praying for healing for both. But there was a boy that they came up to me and they told me that he had been abused, and a lot. And it was his mother and stuff. So I just did a special prayer for him. And it was just really neat to see him. The one lady said, "Did you see his countenance change as you were praying for him?" And then one of the kids, so it was just like, that was enjoyable to see that. And then seeing them every once in a while later, you know, smiling as they continued to celebrate that day and evening. It was just so neat. And then they also blessed them with cupcakes afterwards, and they all lined up one at a time getting their cupcake. And then they had cupcake all over their faces. It was so cute. I mean, the younger ones. And then they, afterwards, and they all got rice and beans for the older people, the adults, you know, and stuff. And then, so they lined up and then they had some kind of soup, and I can't remember the name of the soup, but I remembered tope, bumps. There's lots of bumps there. Have any of you been to Mexico? Okay. And tope, tope. Well, one time Pastor Mark didn't see the tope and boom. So I go, okay. And cuidado, 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 cuidado. Be careful, be careful, be careful. So I go, okay, I'm going back with some other words that I know. Cuidado, tope, and milagro. Milagro, milagro. Milagro is miracle, right? I was like, oh, so I was like, oh, thank you. I learned that one the last, so I didn't have as much time to keep practicing that one. But I was like, oh, Lord, thank you. It was just a blessed time. But challenges, I mean, talking about challenges. And we were just praying and claiming the Lord's protection and stuff, because there were challenges on my way to there, in the van, through the border. You know, just challenges. And then this morning. So it's like, you know what? We're just going to glorify the Lord. I told Carl, I was like, finally. I was just like, throwing the hands up in the air. Okay, you know what, Lord? I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to praise you. And Lord, you know, just let us surrender. It's your service. It's your day. Yesterday, it's your day. So whatever happens, you know, and we would just kept praying, you know, please work this out together, we're good. Please work this out together, we're good. So God is just awesome. Let's pray before we do the message. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will touch our hearts, touch our minds, touch our whole being, our souls, our spirits, our emotions. Touch us to our ears so we really truly hear what you, Holy Spirit, want us to hear. Any insight, revelation you want to reveal to each of us. Lord, you love us so much. And Lord, you could even change it up. What I speak could not be what they hear, because nothing is impossible with you. But may each of us receive what you have for us, including myself. I thank you and praise you for your precious holy word. And may we have eyes to see what you want us to see. feel and experience exactly what you want us to feel and experience because of your awesome, wonderful love for each and every one of us. Lord, whether we're here present or whether somebody else will be listening to this later, may we hear what you have to say to us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your gift that continues to go on and on and on. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 1. Remember I did the Christmas story from Luke. Well, Matthew, as we know, also has the Christmas story in a different way shown. I heard a comment, Terry, that they think Matthew wrote it basically more from Mark and then, you know, added to it, you know, took more from the writings of Mark and then added to it. And he also, he was writing more, they're pretty sure he was writing more focusing on to the Jewish people. And he referred then to 129 in the book of Matthew of the Old Testament, the scriptures and the word, showing the prophetic fulfillment or things that were said that came from the word, showing that Jesus came to fulfill the law, the word, not to undo it. And so Matthew chapter 1 verse 1 says, the book of the ancestry, genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed, the son, the descendant of David, of King David, the son, the descendants of Abraham. And then it refers to Psalm 132, verse 11, and Isaiah 11, 1. So you see, you can go back one of those. Now, this also then goes on, okay, and then blank was a father of blank, and then blank was a father of blank. And you've got several verses of that, of the genealogy. Then you come to verse 16. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. But what I'm really going to concentrate more on is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, especially verse 19. But it is very important. Those he was the father of, he was the father of, he was the father of. It shows the importance of the line. Each one of us is important to God. Each one of us is. That's why the gift came, to continue to go on and on through us. And we are so special and important to God. And he had an assignment for each and every one of those. And the father gave birth to this one, who then was a father of this one, who gave birth to the, and the genealogy. You have, we have a purpose. We have an assignment from the Lord, just as they did. And as the song sang, you know, was sung, and it said how we are now the body of Christ. And we are now representing him to the world. We have him in us and through us. We are united with him, and we are one with him in spirit. So we're representing that gift. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25 says, and this is in the Amplified. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place under these circumstances, when his mother, Mary, had been promised in marriage to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And her promised husband, Joseph, being a just and upright man, and not willing to expose her publicly and to shame and disgrace her, decided to repudiate and dismiss, in other words, to divorce her quietly and secretly. Now, as he was thinking this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And this is the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior. For he will save his people from their sins. That is, he will prevent them from failing and missing the true end and scope of life, which is God. when we took the Lord's Supper, we will be at the King's table celebrating what we have in and through this precious gift. The angel goes on, the verses go on. All this took place that it might be fulfilled, which the Lord had spoken through the prophet. Behold, this is a reference that Matthew is referring to the Old Testament. Behold, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which when translated means God with us. Abide with us, Lord, as we were singing earlier. Then Joseph, being roused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took her to his side as his wife. But he had no union with her as her husband until she had borne her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 in the New American Standard Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." Now, I know a lot of us probably know, but in the reference, and it says, and I'm sure a lot of us have heard, that Matthew 1:18, the first stage of marriage in the Jewish culture, usually lasting for a year before the wedding night, but it was more legal than an engagement for us. So this was a binding thing. So that's why he was considering, when we heard, to divorce her. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. So he had every right to divorce her. See, Joseph knew the law. Joseph knew Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 20 and 21, where it says, "But if this charge is true, that the girl was found out not to be a virgin, then they shall bring out the girl to the doorway of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death because she has committed an act of folly in Israel by playing the harlot in her father's house." He also knew Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. "When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out from his house." So he had options here. But he chose not to take that option of having her revealed to be stoned to death, but he was considering the option of writing a certificate of divorce, of divorcing her quietly. John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11. Do you remember that verse? Those verses is about that woman caught in adultery. And so the scribes and the Pharisees go to Jesus and trying to catch him. And they say, he's at the temple, and they go, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What then do you say?" Well, Jesus, remember, after they keep pressing him, he answers in verse 7, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And then in verse 8, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And then in verse 9, "Then they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, they left one by one." Joseph, to me, was the perfect one that God assigned to be the stepfather of Jesus, God incarnate, fully God, fully man, the beloved Son of God to come. Joseph, a perfect example of somebody who had the option to not have her stoned to death, but had the option of divorcing her and then just quietly taking care of that matter in that way.
instead of making a big public example like the Pharisees were trying to do of that woman caught in adultery. And Jesus responded with compassion and with love. And he told the woman, you know, I don't recognize your sin. Go and sin no more. In other words, you're cleansed. And that's what we just celebrated in the Lord's Supper. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. That is what he came for. He said, go and sin no more. Showing compassion, love, and mercy. Knowing what they had the right to do. And Joseph, to me, is an awesome example of his assignment done in a way. But this is before the angel came. See, you see the heart already. You see his heart before the angel comes to him. The just man. Well, the Greek word for just is a word that means holy, just, and righteous. So we saw that in the different translations I was reading. Holy, I was thinking, holy. So I thought, okay, let me look up the word just. Just is an adjective, so it's describing how he was. And one of the descriptions, the definitions, is honorable and fair in one's dealings and actions. And holy is exalted or worthy of complete devotion as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. Here was a man that loved the Lord God. Here was a man that knew Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. He knew Leviticus 19. You shall not take vengeance, but bear any grudge against the sons of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. He was acting out as Jesus had talked to others, saying about the two greatest commandments. In Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 31, Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Joseph was showing that example. He was showing that, okay, I know I am not the one that made her pregnant, but I'm not going to have her stoned to death. Instead, I'm just going to quietly divorce her. But then the angel comes. God knew his heart. And God, as the word says, how his eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth to strongly support those who love him. He knew Joseph's heart. He knew Joseph loved the Lord God. He knew he also loved Mary. And he knew he was a man full of compassion and grace, righteous, just, holy, because of his love for God. And God came in there to strongly support the one that he had the assignment for to bring forth his son. The genealogy met. He wasn't aware of this. So then he had the strength and the courage as he listened to, as he was willing to see what the Lord wanted him to see, to hear what the Lord wanted him to hear, because his heart was there. To not even consider the more compassionate way of doing quietly a certificate of divorce, but instead to receive Mary as his wife, pregnant, not with his child, but from the Holy Spirit. We know that strong support that came to Mary, but we know that strong support was going to be needed for Joseph too. What a major responsibility, assignment, duty that he had. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 17 says, "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, in all your conduct, in all you do, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay here on earth." We need to fear God, and that's who Joseph feared. And that's where his heart, he feared and reverenced and loved the Lord God. And he had that strength to continue on with the challenges and the adversities of what it meant to be part of this assignment. For this, the Lord God, our Heavenly Father's beloved Son, being here on earth and raising him so that he could do what he did for each and every one of us, fulfilling that gift of love when he died on the cross at Calvary. He shed his blood for each one of us. His body was broken for each one of us. And then he was dead and buried, but then 3 days later, he rose again. And because of that, he sits at the right hand of God, the Father, so that we have the fullness of our Father through him, through the Holy Spirit. The Father gave the Son. The Son gave the Spirit. The Spirit gives us life. So we can continue to bring that gift of love, that power that Joseph had to continue on with the assignment in, and Mary, is the same power that we can have. We can have that towards others. Leviticus chapter 11 verse 44a says, "I am the Lord your God. Concentrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy." And verse 45 it says, "I am the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore be holy because I am holy." And this is what Jesus did for each one of us. We're no longer slaves to sin. We have an incredible gift. And this is a gift to be able to bless others with. Leviticus chapter 19 verse 2 says, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" Joseph couldn't be holy unless he was fearing the Lord God. Unless he loved the Lord God with all of his heart and mind and soul and strength. And that is where we can be holy because of what Jesus did for each and every one of us. But it's not in our power. It is the power of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. The power of his blood. The power of his name. The power of the body that was broken for us. The power that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior can help us to continue to be on that assignment for his glory. And that's what this gift is all about. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do." That's not always easy. And sometimes, you know, you can choose your friends, but you can't always choose your family. In fact, God chose that for you. He assigned when you would be born, where you would be born, who would be your family members, and all that entailed, just as with Joseph, just as with Mary. God knew that we would need him to continue to help us, to strengthen us, as Joseph needed that, as Mary needed that, so that we can continue each and every day to give that Christmas gift of love and the power of his love in us and through us. We are just a vessel, a channel, an instrument, but we need to continue to receive that strength because we fear and love and reverence our Lord God Almighty. We will be strongly supported on our assignment here on earth, our purpose to glorify him each and every day and to glorify him in the midst of challenging people. And sometimes that's family. And sometimes those challenging people you tend to see near the holidays. Or every day. Yeah, like a spouse. No, I'm just teasing. I'm teasing. But every day, we need that love. We need that grace. I know I do. I need his love. I need his grace. Have you ever said, I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I didn't say that. I can't believe I didn't do that. I can't believe I didn't even think of that. We need his grace every day because he didn't forget. Never forgot. He knew always what to do, what not to do, how to respond. And we need that grace. We need his love in order to continue to be holy, to be continue to be just, to continue to be righteous. Because it's not because of us. It's because of him in us and through us. Just as he was doing for Joseph. 1 Peter 1:15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8 says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. In the New American Standard Bible, it says, keep fervent in your love for one another. In the King James Bible, it says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Remember the motto for Foursquare? In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. But in all things, charity. God's love in us and through us. But we have to receive that love each and every day because our hearts are totally and completely dedicated and trusting and leaning on and seeking him. And then he will help us. He will support us just as he did Joseph, just as he did Mary. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8 in the Darby Bible translation says, before all things, having fervent love. The World English Bible, and above all things, be earnest in your love. The Young's Literal Translation, before all things to one another, having the earnest love. This is the greatest gift. And this is what 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. Before that, and in verse 12, it's talking about, right, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then it talks about all these gifts, and these are great. And now comes faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Because if you're kind and do this and that without love, without the heart thing, and that's what God's looking at us. God saw and knew Joseph's heart. And God sees our hearts. God saw and knew Mary's heart. And there is where he strongly supported them to carry out what God's assignment, his duty, his responsibility for each of them was. All the challenges that they faced in the midst of that. But we saw that heart that was willing to handle it in a way quietly. But yet willing to be changed when the Lord reveals to him something else. Knowing that that something else was another path and choice he did not even consider. This was something that would bring on a whole lot of stuff that he was going to need the Lord to help him. But the Lord was there to help him because his heart continued to be one that feared him, that loved him, and knew that he would be there as he always had been for Joseph. To continue on with that assignment, that duty, that responsibility that he had. The opening scripture, Proverbs 17:9a, he who conceals a transgression seeks love. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. As we continue to respond with others, we will be seen in the rest of these next couple weeks, people that have hurt us, people that have offended us, we will be seeing them. Let alone when you look in the mirror, sometimes have you ever been upset with yourself? You need to forgive yourself. I know I have. I've looked at it and I go, I can't believe I did that or didn't do that or said that or didn't say that. or didn't think of that. And sometimes I have a hard time forgiving myself. I'm getting much better at that. But I need his love and his mercy and his grace. I need that blood to cover all my transgressions. And that's what he did for me. And I need to respond with a heart like Joseph's to others. And to quietly just cover that sin. Not to speak it to others. Not to be going on and telling others, oh, do you know? I mean, Joseph didn't go that and go, do you know that Mary, you know, what I heard about her? And then, you know, it wasn't until God's timing. God was the one that was revealing. Joseph's assignment was to love Mary and to wait to even consummate their marriage until after Jesus was born. God gave him the strength to do that. God gave him the strength to conceal this because he loved the Lord and he loved Mary. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22 says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Is your heart ready to fervently love the Lord? Remember our assignment. In January of 2014, the Lord has something for each of us, and that is for us to fast and pray. From Monday, January 6th, to win through Wednesday, January 29th. And we are to seek him right now to see what he wants to sacrificially, each one of us individually, in taking time to pray and in taking time of what it is he wants us to fast. Because each one, that's going to be something different. What may be hard for me to fast may be easy for you to fast. So we need to seek the Lord. So it will be a sacrificial time, a time that we are truly looking to him, wanting the guidance and the direction, not only in our lives personally, but we are all part of the body of Christ, but also as the family, a pathway of hope. And to reach this community and beyond, we need breakthrough. And we need his wisdom and his insight. So you see Joseph's heart already there. But then you see he was open to the new insight and revelation that the Lord gave him through the angel in a dream. And the Lord could give us dreams. The Lord could give us visions. The Lord could give us insight from reading the word. The Lord could give us insight from a billboard or a bumper sticker or something incredible that you were going, and all of a sudden, boom! It just hit you, and you know that's from the Lord. You could hear a song, totally maybe not Christian, but all of a sudden there's a few lines in there that speaks boom, boom, boom to your heart. Loud and clear, the Lord's telling you something in that song. But you could be in worship, you can be in prayer, and he speaks to you with a still, quiet voice. I want us to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit says to us, to listen to him, because he is going to be speaking to us, just as he did to Joseph, because Joseph's heart was God's. He was sold out for him. He was a man that had a heart of compassion, as we should have a heart of compassion for those who do not know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Jesus is coming soon. Remember assignment. It is the definition, something assigned as a particular task or duty, a position of responsibility, post of duty, appointment. I like this, so the law. Under the law part of the definition, the transference of a right, interest, or title, or the instrument of transfer. Do you know what we have? We have the power of the name of Jesus Christ. We have the power of his blood. We have the power of his body broken for us. We have the power of the resurrection. We have the fullness of our Heavenly Father ours. We have over 3,000 promises in the Word to claim. We have the power of prayer, which is God right there at the right hand of God, at the throne room of God. It is right there. We have that. And we are going to be seeking him on our assignment with hearts that are devoted just as Joseph was. And we will have compassion for the 24 days. Remember, I thought maybe it's 3 times 8. I'm not sure, but 24 means it is the number associated with the heavenly government and worship, of which the earthly form in Israel was only a copy. We are told that both Moses and David ordered all things connected with the tabernacle and temple worship by direct revelation from God and as a copy of the things in heavens. The Lord is going to give us revelation and insight, just as he did to David, just as he did to Moses, because the Lord knows Jesus is returning soon, and he does not want anyone to perish, but to have everlasting life, to come to the knowledge of the truth and be set free. This is the Lord. And 3 means divine completeness or perfection. 8, new beginnings. 3 times 8, 24. And that's what I'm claiming, Lord. Give us that divine complete, with your divine grace, number 15, that power of John 3:21 and John 6:21, so we can help reach the lost. Lord God, give us insight, revelation. May we have ears to hear and eyes to see and be willing to listen and be obedient to you as the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. May we sacrificially be yours, Lord God, all yours, because we have hearts that love others. This is what the Lord is asking each of us to do. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8. It says, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on the way, that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. But I want you, the Lord this morning led me to Isaiah 35. Remember, Isaiah 62 is ours to claim, to be looking to receive his instructions from. And he will be giving it to us for this year. A lot of new beginnings. A year that will bring glory and honor to him. In our lives individually, as part of the body of Christ, and as part of the family, a pathway of hope, Foursquare Church, which is part of the body of Christ. The New King James Version, Isaiah 35, and this is from a Spirit-filled Bible. The future glory of Zion, the future glory, a pathway of hope as we continue to direct people to the Lord and grow in him. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of pathway of hope of Lebanon shall be given to it. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Just as Joseph was told to be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. It shall not be found there. The ravenous beast go up on it. They shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We will see healings here. Pathway of Hope is a house of prayer, healings, and Salvation Center. Catherine Booth wrote, "Though you may be untrue, Christ is your truth. Though you may be unclean, Christ is your chastity. Though you may be dishonest, Christ is your honesty. Though you may be insincere, Christ is your sincerity." We need to have the Lord be our Lord of our lives daily, because our hearts are fully and completely, totally dedicated to Him. Yes, He is our Savior, but may He be our Lord and our Master, and may we be willing to seek Him, to have the eyes to see, and the ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to each and every one of us. So we, too, will glorify the Lord with the assignment, the responsibility, the duty He has given us, just as He did to Joseph and Mary. And at this time, we are going to have our prayer altar ministry. I will be singing a song, and I want you to listen to the words as you sing, but also I want us to remember the power of the prayer altar ministry. And then Pastor-to-be Evelyn will do the prayer of benediction at the end. Remember, prayer is powerful and there is breakthrough. We need to remember what Jesus did. This time of Christmas, celebrating the birth of Christ, what it truly has given each and every one of us. And I need the microphone. Okay. I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful for what the Lord has given each of us. I'm very thankful for this time. And to me, we need to celebrate what Jesus did for each and every one of us. And we should celebrate Christmas and the resurrection each and every day. Lord, we truly thank You and praise You for today. May You just continue to be glorified, continue to be lifted up. May we continue to remember the power of prayer, Lord God, not only at this time of the prayer altar ministry, but each and every moment of each and every day. May we continue to be Your ambassadors, Your servants, Your joint heirs, Your sons, taking that authority, taking that love that You've given us. We thank You and praise You, Lord God, for all the glory goes to You, Heavenly Father. And we thank You and praise You for today. May the gift go on in us and through us and for You and Your glory. Pastor-to-be Evelyn.
As we bring our service to a close, we actually are continuing our service outside these four walls. When we go outside, we represent our Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, we give You this benediction from Numbers 6, verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and watch, guard and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to you. The Lord lift up His approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually. And may I say, his gift goes on. Amen. Amen.